But it's a good song, so I can see why we would have wanted to keep going, right? As Tricia mentioned, our scriptures for today come from both the letter of Paul to the church at Rome and the Gospel of John. So beginning with Romans, what then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In our gospel reading. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these things or these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So who can tell me what it means to be born again? I'll give you a minute.
To become a changed or a new person.
Okay. It's such a what? A fraught?
Yeah.
Okay, so a quick Google search will garner you no less than 2,480,002 results. The question, as far as it pertains to being saved, which is what most people identify being born again with, is probably as old as the Gospels themselves. And it's a question that both these texts for this morning seem to wrestle with in their own ways. Now, in our gospel reading for this morning, Nicodemus, if you've heard this story before, Nicodemus always seems to get a bad rap, right? As a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews, he's supposed to be the one with the answers, at least when it comes to spiritual matters. But because he questions Jesus about what it means to be born again, he's often portrayed as confused or clueless. But if you ask me, any teacher worth their salt is continually asking questions, always seeking to push the boundaries of their knowledge, and always exploring an even greater awareness of what they do and do not know. So Nicodemus' questions to Jesus about what it means to be born from above aren't really so far-fetched, because I think Nicodemus genuinely wants to be educated in the matter. But what seems to confuse him, at least in this passage, is if this new birth, this born from above, is a physical event or a spiritual event. Now, crossing over to Romans, Paul, in this letter to the church at Rome, seems to be dealing with a similar question. Is salvation achieved through physical means or spiritual means? And in this case, pertaining to the Mosaic Law. You see, Rome was such a thriving metropolitan center that people from all backgrounds and all walks of life are drawn to this place where this early church exists. And what that means is that members of this early church are both adherents to the Jewish faith, as well as people from any number of other pagan faiths. Now, for the Jews, their primary spiritual practice was guided by the law, the Mosaic Law, associating it with Moses, which they believed had been given to them directly by God, which meant that the law was not just a communal act or a religious practice. It was the way they understood their relationship to God and God's relationship to them, a central tenet of which was circumcision, which, as you can imagine, wasn't all that attractive to the pagan converts among them. And why questions might arise over this physical act and whether it was really required by God. So Paul says to his Jewish constituency, remember our ancestor Abraham, the founder of our faith and our lineage as the people of God. You see, Abraham lived about 600 years before Moses, and therein before the law that's associated with Moses. So there's no way that circumcision could have been required of Abraham. And yet, Paul says, God counted him as righteous. In addition, Paul insists Abraham's righteousness wasn't for anything he'd done. It wasn't any great thing he'd accomplished. It wasn't about works or wages or anything owed. It wasn't even about a sharpened piece of flint that might help to take a little off the top. But Paul says Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So righteousness doesn't come through the physical body, but rather it comes as a free gift from God through believing, if Paul is correct. But get this, the word believe here is not a noun, it's a verb, which means that Abraham did in fact do something. What did he do? He believed. Now it's a similar answer that Nicodemus receives from Jesus in our gospel reading for today. It's what's often portrayed as a covert operation where Nicodemus steals away to Jesus in the middle of the night and he makes this grand theological statement. He says, "We know, whoever we is," I'm assuming he's speaking for all the Pharisees. He says, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God because no one can do these signs." Now, signs is John's word for miracles, and that's the word he uses throughout his gospel. So, because no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. So Nicodemus is clearly buttering Jesus up, right? But he also seems to say, or Jesus seems to say in return to Nicodemus, "You've almost got it. You're almost there. The only problem, you can only see the kingdom of God fully if you've been born again, or born from above, as our text says." To which Nicodemus replies, "How am I supposed to be born again, having grown old, right? Can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born a second time?" The problem is, not unlike the Jewish followers of Jesus in Rome, Nicodemus was only thinking about a physical transformation. But Jesus tells him, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born of both water and spirit. Now, often when people in the church speak of Jesus' reference to being born of water, they seem to imply that Jesus is pointing toward the necessity of water baptism. The problem is, water baptism can also become a physical requirement, not unlike circumcision. But the same idea of water can point to the primordial waters of creation, or water that's part of the birthing process, even indicating a physical birth. And Jesus also says one must be born of the Spirit, pointing toward a spiritual rebirth in order to see the kingdom of God. So maybe being born again means immersing oneself in the gospel narrative and bursting forth into a new view of the world. Maybe being born again means emerging into a new way of looking at our relationships to God, but also our relationships with our fellow humans. Or maybe being born again is the genesis of seeing our own reality as a new way of living, as if God in Jesus is born in us, no longer seeing ourselves as the center of the universe, but as a small part of the larger body of Christ. Just as I told you, the word believe, used in conjunction with Abraham's righteousness, is not a noun but a verb, the same is true of our gospel reading this morning. As John asserts, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So just as Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, Nicodemus, apart from any physical requirement, believed, catching a glimpse of God's kingdom in Jesus, which seems to suggest that both Abraham and Nicodemus were physically born through the normal processes, but then they are born again, born from above through the spiritual process of believing. But I don't believe that being born again is solely a spiritual or a physical practice. You see, if the word believe in both of our texts for this morning is a verb and not a noun, then perhaps a better term might be to be live, right? By which I mean believing, but also living out what you believe. Because when Abraham and later Nicodemus be live, they don't just leave it there. They act out of it. And through their be living, they are transformed, essentially being born again into the kingdom of God. Be living, where both the spiritual and the physical are engaged in living out the kingdom of God in a world desperate for answers. Be living in a way that sees Jesus as both a spiritual teacher as well as a restorer and sometimes healer of the physical body. Be living as a connection to God and God's Holy Spirit moving through us to make visible the reassuring presence of God in our world. Be living, in which we declare the goodness of God with our voices, our hearts, and our spirits. Being born again or born from above cannot be limited to a physical realm, but neither can it be segregated solely to a spiritual realm. By being born again, we are shaped into a new way of believing, or be living, if you will. Being born again, we are shaped into a new way of seeing our world and our fellow humans. Being born again, we are shaped into a new way of embodying God's kingdom. And being born again, we are shaped into the body of Christ.